Also want to encourage anybody that is in any type of addiction that Celebrate Recovery meets on Monday nights at 6 o'clock down in Auburn. And myself and Simeon have been going for quite some time, and I would invite you to tell people about that. You know, I've been there long enough to see genuine hearts there. It's not, you know, just going through a program. There's genuine hearts there. There's some good stuff happening. It's important. I'm learning the importance of what confession is. I'm learning some things that have been neglected in the church, that our church is supposed to be doing, that the church is supposed to be doing, and it's been taken elsewhere because of that. The church growing weak and the church becoming a candy drive-through shop, that these things have found places elsewhere where people can come and confess and really go through their heart and examine their heart and not be afraid to do so and be healed in the process. So Celebrate Recovery is a Christian program. It's a Christian recovery program. That's how most recovery started in this country, and some of them went generic, but that one is staying right on. So praise God for that, just to get that out there as well. And going there, kind of observing for a while and realizing that this is a good thing to go through. And so I'm going to go through the process myself. And as well, the heart searching and all that, I'm all for it. You know, God, search my heart. Amen. All right. Where are we? Chapter 8. Beautiful. Just to hear the bride speak, I'm like, okay, let's play a closing song and go home. It's awesome. Success. That's his bride. That's what he died for. To hear you guys bearing witness to testimony, her prophetic word coming out of Jan for the church body, her testimony coming out from Sim, from Maddie, from Cheyenne. I'm hearing the word of God spoken powerfully from many people here today. That is what he died for. That's what he died for. We literally could have a closing song, go home, and consider a successful meeting today, that God was glorified. But I won't let you go there. I want to give you something special here. Chapter 8. Roger.
I just want to say quick that to feed off from what Maddie said a little bit, that how I used to think before, I knew what God, you know, praise God that he reveals things out of his word to me that, I used to think that Psalm 93 was just for funerals, you know, that when it's over, it's done, you know, but yeah. How much it can be, you know, everyday life or things that we're going through, you know, there's a lot of things that are in here, the truth of his word, that how it reveals, you know, so many other things. It's not just one thing, it's for what we might think it is. I just want to pray to God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good one to memorize. I encourage you to memorize Psalm 23 and bring it down deep in. Chapter 8, Jesus is talking about origins here, where he's from and where we're from. Verse 21 through 24, he's going back and forth with the religious people of that day, the religious rulers, the church leaders, the synagogue leaders. Then Jesus again said unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Why does he say, where I go, you can't come? And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are from this world, that's cosmos, that's the universe. I am not of this world. I am not of this cosmos. If you build a spaceship, there's a guy out in California that wants to prove the Earth is flat. And he's building a spaceship. He's going to launch himself into, so he can prove that the Earth is flat. But if you build a spaceship and you just go outside of our Milky Way galaxy, which would take a whole long time to get out of our galaxy, and you pursue and you keep going out and out and out, you will not come to a point where you finally discover God. The people of early Babylon, built that tower. So they had that kind of concept that God was up there so high, like just beyond the universe. But he is not of anything, of creation. So he's here with us now, and he's beyond all of this now. He's around all of this now. So you couldn't build a ship to go find God somewhere and explore the universe and discover him. Our sciences do that. We're pursuing. We're knocking on doors. We're trying to find answers. How did things begin? How did things begin? And we just heard recently in the news that they finally came to the conclusion that we don't know. It couldn't have happened. I mean, even beyond not knowing, they actually stated it couldn't exist. The world that we know should not exist because of all this, you know, getting all the science and the antimatter and the matter and the particles and all of the things that they've studied and spent billions of dollars on. They came to this conclusion that we should not exist today. That is without a cause, and there is a cause. God spoke it into existence. That's the only part they're missing. They've done a great job. That's the only part they're missing. There's plenty of scientists out there that believe, that are believing scientists, PhDs, multiple PhDs, beautiful people that will help them, I hope, will preach to their colleagues and see them come into the light. You are from beneath. You're from this world. We're from this world. We're from the created world. He is not of this world. There is one ship, though, that you can climb into and find him. And it's called discipleship. We're going to talk about that today in the context of being a son or daughter of the living God. Discipleship can be rephrased as sonship or daughtership. It's not discipleship. I'm learning and I'm growing in some type of knowledge. No. Discipleship is I'm coming to more of a greater understanding. What you were saying, Nate, that the cross is getting bigger and bigger every day. And I tell that to Gretchen all the time. She's telling me something's going on, the cross is getting bigger. Something's going on, the cross is getting bigger. The reason why he died makes more sense to me now. That's maturity spiritually, by the way, as you grow in the Lord. You'll see the value of the cross grow bigger and bigger. It doesn't diminish. It's not like, I'm such a jerk, I came to the Lord, man, and then all sinful and all that. That's good. That's all that. You know what? The cross was that big when I came to the Lord. In reality, it was that big. You know how huge it is now to me? You know how the value of the cross is to me now? It's bigger than this building, let me tell you. It's enormous. The value of what he did continues to grow. That's spiritual maturity. That's discipleship. That's sonship and daughtership. Realizing that he proclaimed me to be a son by what he did on the cross, proclaimed her to be a daughter, and that even that little one over there. Our sonship and daughtership, that's our true discipleship in God as we follow him. We discover what this cross is all about. Jesus would have entanglements. This coming from above and coming from below would a lot of times result in entanglements with people's mentalities, and all they see is the natural around them. It puts people in type of a framework that is very small and sometimes difficult to work with. In John 3:31, he kind of spoke this way. He said, "He that comes from above is above all, and he that is earth is earthly and speaks of the earth, and he that comes from heaven is above all." So you see Jesus kind of talking in a certain way, and these guys kind of talking in another way. Well, it's two different things. He's coming from heaven, they're coming from earth, and that's where the clash is happening. Remember the woman at the well? He's talking about living water. What's she talking about? Natural water, the well. It's hot. It's hard to get, you know, draw it out. This is my daily chore. So that was water to her. Water to Jesus was a whole different story. Nick at night, talking about being born again. Nick's going in the mother's womb again? You know, earthly, thinking horizontally. Jesus is saying, no, it's not about that. You're being born from above. There's something from heaven that drops into you. It's called the gospel. It's just like a seed. It produces life in you. Regeneration. You become alive again, born from above. Born from the cloth of the kingdom of God, cut from a whole different cloth, the material of heaven. I like what Roger read today about that commitment that comes from that. I'm going to praise the Lord forever. Isn't that a comforting thing? I was comforted when you read that this morning. It's just like, I'm settled. It's done. There isn't anything that's going to change out there. There isn't anything that's going to be discovered or anything that somebody's going to say to me or any circumstance or event that's going to happen that's going to stop that. I will not be moved from that. I am secure in that. I will praise the Lord forever. He died for me. I am his son. I am going to live forever with him. And that is fine. I'm settled in that. There is a great comfort in that. That is not up for grabs. I'm not at the poker table to raise the stakes with anybody. That is not for gambling. That is secure. That is set now in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So there is only one ship that can take us to this realm of his kingdom, to understand these things that he speaks of, and that's discipleship. Taking steps of faith, being taught, learning, getting under the word, the tutelage of the word of God, the beautiful word of God is awesome. Faith by hearing and hearing the word of God. It's a ship of faith. It's a faith ship. Faith in Christ is step one, and it's step 3,000 and step 3 million, faith in Christ. That's how we enter into the kingdom of God, and that's how we continue in the same way you receive him. Guess what? You walk that way. Each step is ordered in that way, in faith in Christ. I heard some things shared this morning about not being alone, realizing he will not forsake us. He's with us. God is with us. He's the shelter over us, that type of wisdom coming out this morning. So important to understand that. So today maybe we could title as sonship or daughtership or who's your daddy, you know. But that's what the topic is today and the time we have left. Verses 25 through 32. They said unto him, who art thou? And this is what it's going to be all about. And this is what the question is. You can underline that because this question is coming right back at you. Who are you? Not what you do. Not what nationality. Not who your parents were. I'm Italian. I'm half of this. I'm a quarter of this and all that stuff. No, who are you? I think that's the topic today, okay? Your sonship and daughtership. In that place, you're going to find something very special. And we'll talk about it. And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, just like I said from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Continuing on to verse 32, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, speaking of him being crucified, then shall you know that I am he, in that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. When Jesus said, follow me, listen to how he speaks. Listen to how he speaks because we're going to have the similar identity. He that sent me is with me. He has not left me. I always do those things that please him. That's following God. As he spake those words, many believed on him. That's a great judgment right there. It's the best judgment you'll ever make, best decision you'll ever make in your life. Believing on Jesus Christ. Not what your favorite flavor of ice cream is or what kind of car you get, a small one, big one, tall one. You get a lift kit or you don't. If you get a, you know, whatever house you have and all those decisions you're going to make in your life, doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. This is the big one. Making your decision, believing on him. And verse 30. That was my football number. Number 30. Believing on Jesus Christ. That's your touchdown right there. That's your first step into his kingdom. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Disciple is a follower, a student. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So that is the special thing waiting for us as we enter into the kingdom of God, is this freedom that he's talking about. The first element of freedom, of truth, that sets us free, thanks Rosie, is that he loves us and he died for us, that we're sinners going to hell, and that Jesus intercepted that. He intercepted that reality. He stood in the gap. He took the bullet for us. He took it for us on the cross. That is the reality. That is the truth that sets us free. But listen to this. Our freedom is not about what. It's about who. It's about who we become in Jesus Christ. It's not about what we do in him. It's about who we've become. That's where the freedom is. Well, look, just look around you. People are trying to find out who they are. They spend their whole life. Tell me who I am. Tell me who I am. Put a label on me. Something. I don't know who I am. Please tell me how. Oh, I'm a computer technician. Okay, well, that looks pretty important. Well, I'm a soldier in the army. I've got a couple stripes. Well, that's pretty important. Now I'm starting to get identity. I'm starting to know who I am. Isn't that what goes on? The likes that we get on Facebook. We're trying to get something. We're trying to find some kind of value, some kind of identity. Until that point, we're not free. Until we know who we are, we're not free. We're trying to find that. And when we find out who we are truly free. Nobody can touch you. No matter what they say about you, it's like you already know who you are. It's like you start immediately having concern for that person. It's like hurt people hurting people. And you have all those thoughts coming. Oh, how can I minister to this person that's spewing things at me? You know, you already know who you are in him. You already are so free from the vials of the world. Some spend their whole life staring at that boat of identity of who they've been called to be. That discipleship, that sonship, that daughtership. They stand on the shore of their kingdom. They'll argue about it. They'll look at that boat. They'll point at it. They'll describe it. And maybe even believe that boat is there floating in the water. But they won't get into it. Staying on the safe shores of this identity that they've been born in, of earth, their own kingdom, being on the throne, in control of their life, not willing to let go of that. They might talk the talk, even walk the walk a little bit, but they never left the shores of their kingdom. The discipleship is waiting for all of us, and it simply says, you are my son on the side of it, you are my daughter on the side of it. Will you climb into that today? The ones that don't climb into that will hear this someday. I never knew you. You might say, but Jesus, I did this for you. I built a church for you, Lord God. I built 3 churches. We planted some in India. We fed the poor, Lord God. I crawled on my knees all the way to feed someone a biscuit instead of eating it. I did all these things. I laid myself down to be burned, Lord God. I never knew you, Paul. What are you talking about? You never climbed into that place, that craft that I had for you that declared you to be a son. You were always trying to get it from somebody. You wanted to be called pastor. You wanted to be called this. You wanted to receive from people the accolades. You guys can have all that. I know who I am. I know who I am. Folks, I don't want anybody in here to ever hear that when they get into heaven. I never knew you. Because you refuse to climb into the boat that declares your sonship. Verse 33, we're going to look at different examples of sonship and daughtership as we continue through this word here, this chapter. Verse 33 through 34, they answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? As Simeon was sharing, you know, we didn't realize the bondage we were in until we met God and we knew this Creator. You know, that really brought that into our place. We were comfortable in our sin. We were comfortable doing it until we know that we were created and accountable to a God. You know, we didn't realize our situation. And this is what's going on here. What do you mean? What are you talking about, freedom? I can do whatever I want. That's free. Dumb. D-U-M-B. That's the world's understanding of freedom. You're free and you're dumb to do whatever you want to do, and it doesn't matter. Consequences don't matter. I'm free. I've been declared free. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. That's free, D-U-M-B. It's not the freedom that God has called us to. Freedom is not what you can do, it's who you are. We are Abraham's seed. What are you talking about, this freedom, Jesus? Jesus answered them, "Verily or truly I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin." Someone was in Matthew, Jan, you were in Matthew today. Chapter 6 talks about that. You can't serve two masters. You'll hate one. You'll serve one, but hate the other. That's just how it is. We've been created to serve one, to have one master in our life. You can't play games. You'll try to. I know you will, because I did. You know, you'll try to have one foot in the world and one foot not, and try to have two masters. That's a miserable existence. It's a horrible existence. That's the lukewarmness that God talks about. He doesn't want to have. He wants you hot or cold, either in or out. Come on, in or outside. Close the door. You know what I mean? You're letting the heat out. Stay in or out, in the boat, in the discipleship boat that declares you to be son. But I don't know, I want to be sort of, my boyfriend tells me some pretty cool things, and, you know, he says he loves me and all this, and if I just do this, you know, this kind of things. No. No. Know who you are, and you will not have a problem with the guy that needs a knuckle sandwich. No man can serve two masters. Verses 35 through 36. Here it is, folks, man. It's getting real right here. This is who you are. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Are we talking about what or who? We're talking about who. Think about the cross. Think about what Jesus did for you. It's to make you a who, not a what, not a robot, not a church robot, but a who, a son, a daughter of the living God. In verse 36, if the Son therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. You shall be free indeed. Free as He is. He knew who He was. The integrity of Jesus Christ was always challenged, even by Satan. Turn the stone into bread. What did he say? If you are the Son of God, turn the stone into bread. Throw yourself down. Worship me. The things that Satan did was challenging the who of Jesus. Yeah, the what was real. He was really hungry. He was starving. It wasn't about some type of thing about the what. It was about the who. That was the Son of God that stood up to Satan in the desert. That's what it was all about. This is what it's all about right here. In his freedom, in his integrity, when he stood down here on this earth and walked this earth, he was always Jesus Christ. He was always the Son of God. If he did anything down here, it was to prove that. And he invited us into that reality and that freedom. Know who you are. Know who he's declared you to be. And step into that. Free as he is free. He is free because he knows who he is. Even on the cross, he was free. Even on being whipped, he was free. Even being led by the soldiers, he was free. He knew who he was. He never lost that. It's like, well, I'm sort of like, I'm not sure if the Lord's leading me, or I'm trying. Don't try, folks, die. The Christian way is dying. It isn't trying, it's dying. If you've been trying, you're going to be frustrated. If you're dying in the provision Jesus provided for us, which is the cross, there's a parking space for your carcass right there. He said, come on up. Park it right here. Park that flesh right up here and let it die. Let that fear die. Let that lust die. Let that lying spirit that comes out of your mouth die. In the name of Jesus Christ. The provision is there. Let it die. As you lose your life, you'll find it new in him. What does that mean? You'll find who you are in him. As you lose who you were, you'll find it new in him. A new creation. We'll be free as he is. This freedom that we're talking about is not free, D-U-M-B. Free to do whatever you want to do. People will use, I got a personal relationship with Jesus, and I'll just do whatever I feel like doing. That is not freedom. That's free, D-U-M-B. Freedom is to know who you are in him and not have that shaken. God has declared you as a son. Let's read it. Go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was born of the Jews. They received him not. They would reject him, crucify him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power. That's the right. That's the right. You have rights. You do have rights that have been declared by God on the cross. You have rights that cannot be denied by any man, by any government, by anything that ever happens on this earth. You have a right. As many as received him, he gave them the power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Get in the boat, the discipleship boat. Both feet. Let go of the ground and float away into the sunset with him. Float away into this reality and this path, this life that you have with him. It's rich. It's powerful. It's wonderful. It hasn't entered into the mind or heart of man what God has prepared for him. Just let go of that shoreline. Let go of the anchor. Cut loose with him. He's declared you to be a son, and that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. His grace is sufficient. You don't need to know the list. You don't need to know the answer and outcomes of everything. You just need to know one thing, that he's declared you to be a son or daughter. And that's forever. And it can't be broken. It can't be taken away any more than I can take away the DNA from my son Tony's flesh or my daughter Mindy's flesh and I can rip it out of her system. I can't do that. She's my daughter. He's my son. Brianna's my daughter too. Just don't want to leave her out. Thank you, Jesus Christ. That imprint on us, that blood has done something. The mystery of the cross has brought something into me through the gospel. A seed has been born. That DNA cannot be removed. It doesn't sin. It's holy. It's pure. God desires it to grow and walk in him, and that to be nurtured. I need to get around his word to allow it to grow. I need to be around his people to allow it to be useful in his kingdom, to be fruitful. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. No paperwork, no declaration, no lawyer can ever take away your right that's been declared by God. Freedom is having this irrevocable declaration that you are a son or daughter. That is freedom, folks. That is freedom. You start having a feeling, you guys were talking about feelings and grumpiness that comes on and different things, and all of a sudden you feel God is not there. No, you grab a hold of that freedom. You grab a hold of that reality, that truth, and you're going to be set free from that, whatever's going on, that oppression, that attack. You need to stand. You need to stand on that reality. After all things, putting on the armor of God, putting on this armor of Christ, you're putting back on, I am a son of God. And after all of things, is to be able to stand on that, to simply stand. And I am a son, I am a daughter of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Folks, you know when it says, taste and see it, the Lord is good? There were two trees, and both of them are saying, come taste. We already bit of the one. We already have something that was given to us from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here you go. Me too. Here you go. Two for you. Two for you. Maybe two each. Two each. Ooh, you got a leaf, a little extra. Okay, so remember the stones that were going to be thrown at, you guys don't care, but there was the story just before this, was the stones that they were going to throw at the woman caught in adultery. You guys know that story? They were going to stone her because of she was caught in the act of adultery. And these rocks that they had in their hands represent the tree that they were born on, that Adam sinned on. It's called judgment. It's called Elohim. It's being put in a position that man was never supposed to be. We were never supposed to have these rocks of judgment in our hand. And that came through the curse. And we see it literally there in the Bible, in the scripture, as they're gathering around this woman that was caught in sin and getting ready to stone her. These rocks of judgment. Okay, rocks in both hands. This is what we were born with. The rocks of judgment. Elohim. This is the nature that we're born with. It's called our sin nature. It's our sin nature, and that's judging, being able to judge right and wrong, knowing good and evil, and the rocks of judgment. And as we see our sin in other people, especially, we're ready to throw it. And that's the flesh rising up in us. This is the judgment. This is the curse that we all has been pronounced on us from birth. Jesus has declared us to be free from this. So with the rocks in your hands, go ahead and pick up your Bible. Oh, pretty good. Oh, two rocks in one hand, and then, oh, I'm just seeing how you guys do it. It's a little difficult to
do it.
That's what I was hoping. It's a little hard to do that. It's a little hard to pick up your scripture. You guys are very talented. It's a little hard to get in the Word of God when your hands are holding on to judgment against people. Judgment leads to unforgiveness and bitterness at the world around us. And we become filled with darkness. Our whole eyes become darkened. Our bodies become darkened. And we're walking around there just ready to peg somebody. You know, I hate people. I'm ready to peg somebody. You know, that's what's happening. And you'll see it all around us. We're killing each other. It's going to talk about that in the rest of this chapter. We're going to talk about sonship more and daughtership more. We're going to talk about Ruth. We're going to talk about Job. We're going to talk about Abraham. We're going to talk about some really cool things. We're going to keep digging into this sonship and daughtership thing. So the invitation is to come forward today, drop your rocks in the bucket, and say, Jesus, thank you for delivering me and declaring me to be your son. I'm free. So that's the sound you would hear during that episode with the woman at the well. The woman caught in adultery. These are the sounds you would hear. She is not the only one that was set free, folks. The ones that had the rocks in their hands were set free as well. You need to understand that. Good job. Praise God. Jesus talks about a log being removed out of our eyes so we can take out the splinter in other people's eyes. This is kind of the same idea here. This is the log that we have in our eye. We're not effective with each other because of it. Until that log is removed, until we're adopted into the kingdom of God and that full sonship and daughtership, we're going to be not very effective. We can play church. We can play a lot of things. We're not going to be effective. Let's enjoy this song together. And when we're done, I'm going to give us a declaration of independence. And we'll be all done for today.
Thank you.
Praise you, God. Our sonship, our daughtership is a right endowed by our Creator. In that we have freedom. It's a declaration of independence that drove the one our forefathers of our country to create a nation and people with such freedom. Endowed with rights from a Creator as well. Folks, it is simple. Your freedom is not about what I can do, but who I am. Freedom comes from a kingdom where the king has declared you so. Let's read our Declaration of Independence together. It comes from Galatians 2:20. I'm going to read it through, and then I'm going to read it again and ask you to participate. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ.
I am crucified with Christ.
Nevertheless I live.
Nevertheless I live.
Yet not I.
Yet not I.
But Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live,
in the flesh,
I live by the faith
of the Son of God,
who loved me
and gave himself for me.
No one can ever take that away from you. Let's close your eyes this morning in prayer. You should feel absolutely 100% safe and secure in the reality of what he did for you. Allow that reality that he died for you to be immovable in your life, to be your declaration of independence from the opinion of man and from the need to be defined by this world. It was read today, let another man praise you, that's fine. And they will, but don't let that define you. You only need the one truth that sets you free, and that is that you're a son or daughter because of the blood that was shed on the cross, because of Jesus taking your sin on the cross. Every single sin that you did in the past and will do ever. He's taken it, he's cleansed it, he's washed it. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Your body loves you, Lord God, here today and declares you as our King. Use us today, Lord Jesus. We look for those divine appointments that you've created us to walk in today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.